Oh yes, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? I am happy, I am excited, I am finally ready to bring you Ballin' with the Box. This is episode one. Now, Ballin' with the Box is a podcast dedicated to the raw, real, and uncut stories, interesting personalities, and questionable decisions of the basketball world. Listeners are encouraged to engage and speak their mind. But boy, if you're wrong, which you are, you will get the box. That's our mission statement. And so let's jump right into it. You know, I know everybody is paying attention to the NBA free agency. It's like a soap opera. You know, it's a bit ridiculous. You know, we're literally just waiting for every moment, every person that gets signed. We're just waiting. You know what I'm saying? We're kind of jumping for joy. It's literally just who's going where. Let me tell you why I'm excited today. Like I said, this is the very first show, and I think that this is a start to something very beautiful. You know, I have a very good connection with the people. You know, the people want to hear my insane takes on these sports topics. So, like I said, we're going to jump right into it, jump right inside the box. NBA free agency. Who won NBA free agency? Right? I mean, so we got the Clippers, who, of course, you know, signed Kawhi Leonard and traded for Paul George. We got the Lakers, who traded for Anthony Davis and, you know, LeBron doing his magic, I guess. You know, just simply signing all these certain pieces. They signed Boogie. They signed Quinn Cook. You know, we'll get more into it in a minute. But, of course, the Pelicans and, of course, you know, with Zion. We got the Jazz making some moves, making some splashes. And of course the Brooklyn Nets, with KD and Kyrie. So I guess the question is, like who wins NBA free agency? I guess now that we have all the biggest names off the board, of course there's still going to be a couple signings, here and there, but we got the big names off the board. So personally, I'm gonna go right off the bat and let everybody know that the Box is a Knicks fan. Just by default, because that's where the Box originated. The Box is from New York. The Box is from New York City, residing in New Haven, Connecticut right now. So I think I got the Clippers. I think the Clippers have won free agency, right? Obviously, Kawhi Leonard, Finals MVP. You know, I don't really like this narrative that's going on about him. Like, you know, a lot of things have been said about Kawhi Leonard in the last couple months, where I'm just like, I disagree with everything, with all of it. Is he one of the best players in the NBA? Absolutely. He might be the best. I mean, I hear people saying Kevin Durant is the best, but I mean, nobody plays both sides of the ball better than Kawhi Leonard. You know, you could say that he's a step under Kevin Durant offensively, but as far as defense, I mean, it's no match. I know Kevin Durant has played better defensively, you know, when he's been with the Warriors, but I mean, if you had the choice, if you got the ball, if you're on offense and you got the choice to see Kevin Durant or to see Kawhi Leonard, I'm pretty sure you're going to pick Kevin Durant. So that says it all right there. And then you got Paul George, who was third in MVP voting, coming off the best basketball season I've seen him play. And this is just NBA players maturing. You know, because I mean, we have all these convictions for these players. Paul George, he's this, he's that. He's an almost superstar. He's not really there yet. And, I mean, he looked like a superstar to me. And then, of course, the whole thing in the playoffs. But people forget, you know, the wear and tear that happens to you in the NBA, through an NBA season, you know, it's a bit much and something that us regular civilians would never be able to handle. I mean, there's a reason why he had shoulder surgery he had shoulder surgery before Damian Lillard finished waving bye to him. You know, there was him and Westbrook had surgery. So, you know, I mean, definitely taking nothing away from Dame, one of my favorite players, probably is my favorite player, not named LeBron James. You know, definitely gave him a nice send off, you know, and there's no excuses or anything like that. But I mean, them getting surgeries literally days after they got knocked out of the playoffs shows everything. You know, they were injured. So the Clippers did get those two players, and that adds to a team that's already good. 48 wins last year and took the very, very healthy Golden State Warriors to six games. And people can say it's luck all they want, but it's they had, you know, lightning don't strike twice in a bottle. I'll give you one. I definitely give you one that they got one, luckily, if you want to say one. But then they did it again. And they did it in Oracle. So it's not like, you know, like, yo, they some dogs down there. You already know Patrick Beverly, Pat Bev here. You know, I like what he said on Instagram. Him and Lou Will was on Instagram talking about some don't talk to me. The prices just went up. You know, they understand what they have now. And, you know, I would like to say that don't forget Patrick Beverly. He walked away from more money to stay with the Clippers. So it's like, you know, did Kawhi kind of give him the little, you're like, yo, just chill, you know, don't make no moves until I do. Kind of give him the little heads up, you know, like, yo, I got something in the works. You know, don't go nowhere. And now, yo, who's going to cross half? How can you bring the ball up? What if Patrick Beverly decides to pick you up from 94 feet? You call for all the screens you want. You call for a screen and then it's Kawhi Leonard. Or you call for a screen and then it's Paul George. Or you call for a screen and then it's Montrezl Harrell. Like, yo, I mean, it's going to be games where people drop 70 points on the Clippers. And in today's game, that's ridiculous. In today's game, nobody plays defense. And what do they say? Defense wins championships. Well, they definitely, to me, they are, this is the best wing defense. I mean, you know, obviously they haven't played a game yet, so I don't want to say ever, but can you tell me a better trio of wing defenders? I don't think so. So you got the clip. And then, of course, you know, they signed Zubats from the Lakers. They re-signed him. And he's alpha blood, too. You know, he's one of those players that nobody's going to really pay attention to. And he's going to make some noise. He's going to get you a game where it's 20-10. You know, one of them load management games that we know Kawhi is destined for. Right? So one of them games, he's definitely going to be in there. And, you know, being in Staples Center, going right across the hall, you know, he definitely feels slighted by the Lakers. He wanted to stay there. And they just kind of dumped him off for freaking Mike Muscala, who's not going to be... Like, I mean, I know he just got signed and all that stuff, but this dude is not going to be in the league in a couple years. Like, I don't even understand how, like, why you would make that trade. But, you know. So, yeah. So the Clippers, that would be their starting five is what I would think. You got Patrick Beverly, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Montrezl Harrell, and Ivan Zubac. And then, of course, you got Sweet Lou coming off the bench. And, you know, I mean, I would fill in some more pieces, but you guys are fine. You know, like, I think that in the very short amount of time, and, you know, you got a Hall of Fame coach in Doc Rivers, so I don't think chemistry is going to be an issue. I mean, Kawhi picked, you know, handpicked Paul George, so I don't think that, you know, they want to play together, so chemistry is not going to be a huge issue. They know that they're going to lock up, right? If it's one thing we know, that the Clippers are going to be locking people up. I expect them to be the top defense in the league. With, you know, Paul George was already one of the top 10 players in defensive efficiency last year. Led the league in steals or tied for the league in steals. And, of course, Kawhi Leonard, the Claw. I mean, his game is defense, you know. And then, of course, Patrick Beverly. Patrick Beverly got the black uptowns on. Patrick Beverly is the dude. He's your little snotty-nosed cousin that you bring with you to the park and to just play. And everybody is okay with him being on your team because they don't think he could ball. And then all of a sudden, they can't even dribble around him. And, you know, it's like, yo, damn, get your cousin on me. Yeah, that's him. That's the pest. You going to try to inbound the ball. He picking you up from 94 feet with 11 minutes left in the first quarter. Like, he's ready right now. So you know, when you got people like that, you know, mixed with the even keel mentality of the Clippers, and you have Doc Rivers and, you know, the great GM of Jerry West. This dude is working on his fourth dynasty right now. You know, obviously with the Kobe and Shaq Lakers, then Kobe and Powell Lakers, then of course with the Warriors, and now look what we're doing with the Clippers. You know, he's got to be the best GM of all time. That's what I'm thinking. You got to say that Jerry West is probably the best GM of all time. If you can find me somebody better, I'm willing to listen. But what he's doing with the Clippers is amazing. All right, so yeah, so like I said, Clippers, I think are the early favorites. I know everyone's still, you know, I'm still a little bit emotional about it, but it just happened. But just thinking about the defense that this team is about to play, and knowing that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George could put the ball in the basket in any play. You know, Sweet Lou coming off the bench led his team in scoring last year. That'll obviously change, but it's not like they don't have scoring. It's not like they wasn't going to, you know, with the Warriors putting up 120 plus points per game, you know, in the playoffs. So they could definitely score. And now you got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, you locking up. All right, so moving on to the other side of the gym, or to the other side, you know, of Staples Center with the Lakers. I mean, we think LeBron is such a GM. Look at what Kawhi just did, but LeBron is definitely working his GM skills if I ever seen him. And you know, I'm starting to see that players in this league are starting to realize that you can do what you want. You know what I'm saying? Like, take your life into your own hands. You know, the NBA, that, like, I think of the NBA as one big science project, right? Like everybody, this is a group project. So now players are asking the teacher, hey, can I work with Bobby over here? You know, Kawhi's going, hey, I'd rather work with Paul George. I'm going to get an A if I go work with Paul George. You know, if I do this with Paul George. Bron's like, you know, hey, I'll get an A if I could recruit AD over here. You know, we'll get work done. I promise I'll stop bringing wine glasses, you know, glasses full of wine to the game if you could put AD on my team. You know, I didn't want the little freshman over there. I didn't want Lonzo and Brandon Ingram, the little freshman, to help me with this group project. I wanted the seniors. I wanted the people that I already know got an A on the class. You know, so, you know, I just think of it like that's what I like, you know. So that, I'm not with this narrative that, you know, Kawhi somehow, like, restored the NBA or something like that. But I definitely like the balance. I do like that he didn't go to play with the Lakers. Because I feel like that would have been, like, the Warriors all over again, right? Like, these last couple seasons, we kind of just assumed the Warriors are going to win. And obviously they got injured. That's pretty much the only reason that they didn't win. Taking nothing from the Raptors. But if the Warriors didn't get injured, most people were saying Warriors in three, you know, and it take four games to win the damn series. And people were saying Warriors in three if they were all healthy. So, you know, we'll take that with a grain of salt. But like I said, moving over to the other side of Staples, you got LeBron, of course. People forget he's about to be 35, right? Eventually, Father Time has got to knock on your door and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm here now. It's time for you to take care of me. Because, I mean, 27-8-8 last year. I'm just amazed every time LeBron steps on the court. But, you know, this is the first time we've seen him off the court for 17 games. That's the longest he's ever been out. So I'm starting to wonder. I hope we don't start to see this be a trend. You know, he played 82 games, and then now all of a sudden, you know, he had the big injury, you know, with the groin injury. And it's not a huge injury, but it's his biggest injury. So, you know, I don't want to start seeing that now. And, of course, you already know Anthony Davis is injury prone. So the Lakers did give up a lot for a player that might not play 70 games, 75 games. I'm hoping that LeBron gave AD his number to his trainer that he spends $2 million a year on. And, you know, get that body right for AD so, you know, we can stop with these little... And it's little bullshit, you know what I'm saying? It's little nicks and bruises and stuff like that. So, you know, like we definitely don't need those kinds of things deterring you from, like, making the playoffs or, you know what I'm saying? Like, making a huge run that, you know, that people think that you can make. I mean, this year is going to be incredibly dramatic, especially in Los Angeles. Every minute these players tweet anything, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to want to know. We're going to want to know what Danny Green ate for breakfast, you know, that morning when he hit 9 threes, you know, in a game or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be like that. So, but the Lakers they've signed some veterans. They've been doing some work, you know. I think that they put together a really good team. You know, you get Rondo back with basically his Pelicans team that won a game against the Warriors, you know, after sweeping Portland 2 years ago. Right? So you got Rondo, Boogie, and AD. That was the Pelicans, you know, in a couple years ago. So now you got them and you match them with Bron and Danny Green and that's your starting lineup. Yeah, I'm happy with that. Now, if you want to have Boogie come off the bench for JaVale McGee, like, if he's cool with that, I'm still waiting for Boogie to go off. I'm eventually waiting for Boogie to just have it. You know, there's gonna be a time where he just has had it. But to see him, I'm just glad that he got signed too, because he kind of took a risk, you know, to take that 5-year deal. He might have lost $30 million. No, let me not say he might have. He definitely lost $30 million because he didn't take the deal from the Pelicans. They offered him $40 million. He said no. Then no teams came knocking because he had that injury. Then the Warriors came and took him for the $5.3 million. And then now he took a 1-year deal. So, you know, getting about $5 million. So, yeah, he lost about $30 million. You know, and like now no team is probably going to want to give him that big contract that he was looking for. The plan was to win a championship and then have that under your belt. I mean, you did go to the finals. You know, you played okay. I mean, you didn't play for what we expect from Boogie. You know, that's not really exactly what we expect from DeMarcus Cousins. But with all the injuries and everything, you know, and all the circumstances you're under, we understand. So, you know, people really went crazy when you had 11 points, 10 boards, and 6 assists. I'm like, yo, we happy Boogie got a double-double? Like, listen, I know it's hard to come back from these injuries and stuff, but before you got injured, I mean, we talk about 28 and 14. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm used to that Boogie. Like, I'm used to seeing, you know, like, even though your game has always been under the rim, your game has always been, like, the traditional big man, you know? So, and then now you adapted and now you have a 3-point shot. So that's going to be good because, you know, Anthony Davis can be inside, you know, y'all can work the magic that y'all can have the same chemistry that y'all had in New Orleans, plus LeBron James. Like, how can you be upset with that? You know? And then you have a very formidable bench. You have players like Quinn Cook, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. We have who else coming off the bench? I guess, of course, Boogie. You know, like this squad, they got 10 very, very decent players. 10 players that, you know, you're not upset when you got to take somebody out to put them in the game. So if I'm the Lakers, I'm happy. But at the same time, I'm looking over across the hall like, damn, that's our competition. The Clippers are the if Clippers aren't one, they're two. Like who's better than the Clippers? Maybe Utah. Utah, they stacked up. They signed Mike Conley, who's the perfect veteran point guard to match with somebody like Donovan Mitchell, you know, going into his third year and already all-star talent. Like this is the exact kind of person that he needs, you know. I mean, he was listening to Ricky Rubio, so it's like, you know, how far is he going to actually take you? But getting Mike Conley, getting Bojan Bogdanovic from the Pacers, like that's these are huge moves. It's funny because they call it Joe Ingles, the math teacher. Well, shoot, now you got a science teacher too. Y'all could go have practice and y'all could go watch film in detention. How about that? If we in Utah, right? And then, of course, you bring back the Defensive Player of the Year, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. Okay, led the league in blocks. So, this is a really good team. You know, like, people forget, like, you know, you lost Jay Crowder a couple years, you know, in that Cavs trade a couple years ago. You lost Derek Favors to the Pelicans this year. And you didn't really lose a step. You know, you got Dante Exum coming back off of injury. Hopefully, I think he's a good point guard. I like him. I'm not upset at what he brings to the table. You know, he could definitely back up Mike Conley. Of course, you got Donovan Mitchell. Like this is a team. This is gonna be a scary team. And of course, Quinn Snyder, who I think got snubbed for Coach of the Year a couple years ago, for when you lose Gordon Hayward, someone who brought you. Who brings you to the playoffs every year, you know, and plays really well. Like, you're supposed to go into rebuilding mode. And, you know, you great pick by picking Donovan Mitchell to keep your team competitive the whole time. Like, he definitely missed out on a Coach of the Year award, I believe. Still make the playoffs and all of that. And win a playoff series. They beat the Thunder in the first round that year. So, you know, they have everything in place. They are ready to make a run. Moving over to the to the east side. Of course, we got the Brooklyn Nets who made that move. So now here's my thing with Brooklyn. Right now, we know that Kevin Durant's going to come back next year. He's not playing at all this year. And we're not going to talk about how he changed his number to 7. And it's like really giving me these like mellow vibes. And I don't want him to come back off a torn Achilles and start bricking like Melo. You know, I'm really upset about Melo. The whole trade dismantled our team and all that stuff. We'll get into that another time. But, you know, I'm not a huge Carmelo Anthony fan. As a New York Knicks fan, I'm not a big Carmelo Anthony fan. As a person, you know, like, despite what people think about him or what people, you know, talk about him, I'm sure he's a great person. Seems very even keel, cool dude to chill with. But when it comes to basketball, I don't want you to be the best player on my team. Simple as that. That's just my opinion, though. But I bring that up because, you know, he changed his number to 7. Kevin Durant changed his number to 7 from 35. I mean, literally a week after LeBron changes his number back to 6. And, you know, I remember when they said Kobe changed his number to 24 because he wanted to be one above Michael Jordan. You know, and whether that's true or not, you know, it doesn't really matter. But it does kind of sound like Kobe, something Kobe would do as far as competitive spirit, right? Competitive nature, he's a killer. That sounds like something he would do. You want to be better than the person you're looking up to. The student finally becomes a teacher. Right? I mean, that's what I'm seeing in Kevin Durant. I mean, we got the shop with LeBron James, and we got the boardroom with Kevin Durant. When LeBron James came to the Lakers, he sold his house he bought a house in LA, moved his we already know his business ventures were already out in LA. You know, he started doing things that was making you believe that he's going to go to LA. And then what did Kevin Durant do? He moves he sells his house in the Bay, buys a house in New York, moves his business to New York, gets injured, does his rehabilitation in New York. I mean, this whole time we thought he was going to New York. We just didn't think that it was going to be Brooklyn. You know, we just automatically thought, you know, we getting Kevin Durant. And that's what we were promised, right? As Knicks fans, we're sitting here like, oh, wow, we're about to get Kevin Durant. We're about to get Kyrie Irving. And really, this whole time, they had the plans to go. So this whole time, they had the plans to go to Brooklyn, right? And so this goes to show you that you can keep things quiet. There doesn't need to be tampering, right? If Kawhi can keep all of his moves on the hush-hush and sort of manipulate the game, lie to people, tell the Lakers to push back the Anthony Davis trade so they could work things out and figure out how they could get him to the Lakers. But really, those are strategic moves. While the Thunder and while Paul George's agent went to the Thunder requesting a trade, he really wanted that to go down. That's why he asked, you know, stayed in constant contact with the Lakers to let them think that he was going to get them or that they were going to get him. Meanwhile, the whole time he was plotting to go to the Clippers. I mean, hey, good move. I mean, do what you want, right? Like, do what you have to do in order to go where you want. You're just picking where you work. And if you want to go home, who can blame you for going home? You're from Southern California. And I really appreciate him going to the Clippers because it's a new day. It changes the narrative. Everyone was ready for the Lakers to regain the throne of LA, regain the throne of the NBA, become this, you know, go back to being the prestigious team that they are. And Jerry West said, hold up. It's a team over here too. You know, like, I'm not going to let us go back into the shadows again. You know, and that's why I was okay with him letting go so much. Because that's what I was thinking too. Like the Clippers gave up a lot. The Clippers gave up a whole lot. They gave up more, you know, they gave up pretty much more than the Lakers. And I'm one who likes Lonzo Ball, who thinks Brandon Ingram is right where Paul George was when y'all started hating on him. You know, like in his fourth season. Where it's like, yo, can we just let this dude groom? He's averaging 17, 18 points a game. I think he could play a little bit. Let him groom into something. I mean, if he's even half of Paul George, I think that'd be okay, right? Right? Like, we'd be happy with that if Brandon Ingram was even like a fraction of Paul George. So let's slow down with these dudes sucking. Everyone's saying that they're not good. So I think the Lakers have a very good chance to win the championship this year. But I also think the Clippers have a very good chance of winning the championship this year. And I also think the Jazz have a good chance of winning their first championship this year. And let's not forget Denver. Let's not forget Portland. You know, like Portland just retooled. They just got Hassan Whiteside. And you know what's better about getting this Hassan Whiteside is he needs to be hungry again. You know, he got out of a bad situation with Eric Spoelstra. Him and Eric Spoelstra clearly were butting heads. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I play fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports. We'll definitely have some segments where we talk about that as well. But I used to always get mad when I would play Hassan Whiteside when he had one of the best matchups of the night. And, you know, he'll give you 30 fantasy points in 12 minutes. You know, 13, 14 minutes where I'm just like, yo, this dude is balling and Eric Spoelstra not giving him no minutes. He playing Kelly Olynyk, good player, but I mean, he's not better than Hassan Whiteside. You know, the dude that you just gave all his money to, I mean, the dude that just was bagging groceries, playing ball down at the YMCA. You know, like then you paid that guy and what you say he's unmotivated. I mean, I'm not into practices. I can't tell you that he's unmotivated. But all I'm saying is when I see him out on the floor, he's balling. He's getting you a double-double. He's blocking some shots. And he's playing the traditional center role. Grabbing rebounds, dunking. That's it. You don't see him doing no jump. I mean, probably in this NBA, you know, I know he's taking a couple, but you haven't. He's not trying to take a jumper, right? So then on top of that, the Portland Trail Blazers is getting Nurkic back. They just signed Dame to the multi-year extension. You know, still got CJ McCollum, got rid of Mo Harkless, got rid of Al Farouq Aminu. So he still, you know, but got Rodney Hood back, got Kent Bazemore. Like, I like how all of these teams is retooling. And, you know, of course I love Dame time. I love Dame's mentality. Logo Lillard, you know, saying he's not the kind of team up kind of guy where, and you know, he definitely wanted to make it clear that he's not saying, hey, don't come play with me. He's saying, let's do it the right way. We're not gonna, you know, meet on a banana boat and talk about, you know, playing with each other. Like, he's trying to beat these guys, right? He's about competition. So now I think that I like Nurkic. And I like Hassan Whiteside. I think the right player for their team, though, is Kevin Love. And he's a forgotten player out down in Cleveland. He's definitely a forgotten player down in Cleveland where, you know, there's nothing's happening there. He's been injured. But when he's healthy, I mean, we know the healthy Kevin Love is a 2010 guy when he's the best player on the team. Shoot, a 25-14 guy. You know what I'm saying? Like we've seen him do that. Kevin Love, go to Portland. Set screens, shoot the ball, shoot open shots. You know, the defense is going to be focusing on Dame. I mean, I could see very good things happening if Kevin Love goes to Portland. But, you know, who knows if that'll happen. I think if Kevin Love was on it, is definitely a piece. If he was on a championship team, they would be happy to have him. So Denver re-upped on Jamal Murray. Went to game 7, you know, to get to the Western Conference Finals with Portland. So, I mean, Jokic going to have another year. I mean, this year is going to be crazy. This year, everywhere you look, there's a team that's like, oh, wow. Y'all might do something. And don't let Russell Westbrook get traded to an Eastern Conference team. You know, that's the thing I want to talk about. Russell Westbrook. Where's Russell Westbrook going? You know, the Thunder, I will give them much respect. They got blindsided with this whole trade request from Paul George. They had to do what they had to do. And I think that they did pretty good. I think they got a pretty good return for giving away Paul George. And, you know, it definitely stung a little bit that it was on Paul George, or I think Paul George Day in the city of Oklahoma was going to be that weekend. Like, can you imagine that? You request a trade on July 4th weekend, the same weekend as Paul George Day, the same weekend as the day that the team is honoring you for just being there, for just coming to, just signing the long-term deal here. Thank you for coming to Oklahoma City. We appreciate you. We love you. And you're like, well, I'm going home. Like, I'm out. I'm going home. I guess they can't be mad at you, but damn, does anyone want to play with Russell Westbrook? Is there anybody out there? Hello? Anybody out there that want to play with Russell Westbrook? I don't understand it. Brody is going to get you a triple-double. Right? Oh, we don't care about the triple-doubles now. So the same thing that gave me, that gave Russell Westbrook the MVP, now it doesn't matter. First year, you know, you average a triple-double, you win MVP. The second year, you're not even in the running for in the MVP voting, and you average a triple-double again. The third year, people are like, telling you you're stat padding. So, like, how did he even win MVP in the first place? You know, like, people are so just prisoners of the moment. It's ridiculous. But I know he averages 10, 11 assists a game. So that means he's looking for somebody. Granted, it's when he's triple teamed. But up until, up until a year ago, who was he passing to? Andre Roberson, who actually got injured? You know, like, and still getting 10 assists? Then, of course, when you have Paul George, they expect you to get 10 assists. So I'm really trying to figure out, like, what it is with Russell Westbrook. I mean, he's all athleticism. I mean, I feel like his game is not going to age well. He's in his 30s now. So we've seen the best of him. So it's only going to go downhill from here. One of my favorite players. I know, one of my favorite players in the league. I will ride with Russ. He is the ultimate teammate. Every teammate that I've heard say something about playing with Russell Westbrook has only had good things to say about him. So I don't want to hear the narrative of you can't play with him. Does nobody want to play with him? I just don't get it. I'm just trying to figure it out. Is he not a winner? What is it? Why don't people want to play with Russell Westbrook, but when they do play with him, they like him? Is it because he's like, he'll go to war with you? He's a great person to go to war with? Like, have him by your side? I definitely understand that, but are you going to win? Are you going to still be on Russell Westbrook's team when he goes 3 for 30? When he doesn't trust you anymore, and down the stretch, he's bricking three-pointers that he can't even shoot in the when he's hot. So where's Russell Westbrook going to go? I can see him getting a trade with the Rockets and that being another freaking disaster. Oh, yeah. You know, when Chris Paul came over to the Rockets, I thought that was going to be a disaster, and I was right. Everyone would say, oh, if Chris Paul didn't get injured, they would have beat the Warriors. Maybe. But if Andre Iguodala wasn't injured, it wouldn't even gotten that far. People forget that. Andre Iguodala was injured. Warriors in 5 if Andre Iguodala is healthy. So then of course they shut that whole thing down this past year with losing Kevin Durant, and y'all have everything that y'all had the year before except for Trevor Ariza, you know, like that, who I think is actually that counted a lot. And of course Luke Mbamute, who nobody knows now, but back then, you know, was a great defensive player for their team, you know, who team didn't play defense. He was the only one that played defense. So you clearly missed that. Chris Paul had 27 in game six, I'm sorry. It didn't go to 7. James Harden had 35, so we couldn't pick up the narrative that he you know, quit or that he disappeared like he normally does. He had 35. He was balling out there. But still, you can still see these certain players shrink in these moments. As soon as KD went out, it should have been, yo, oh, the Rockets got this, right? Right? But no, they didn't. You know, that like, people forget chemistry and coaching. Chemistry and coaching are super important. Two of the most underrated things in the league. You think that the Warriors just got to five straight finals just because they have the best players? That's not true. All right? Do you think that there's somebody in the league better than Klay Thompson? Yeah, arguably. Do you think that there's somebody in the league better than Steph Curry at point guard? Yeah, arguably. All right, there's a lot of players better than Draymond Green at the power forward position. You would think so individually, right? I mean, and of course, you know, you got Kevin Durant, so you can't say the same thing about him. But he's never won anything by himself or with, you know, without the Warriors. So chemistry and coaching is everything. Chemistry and coaching. Only reason I bring up the Knicks possibly trading for Russell Westbrook is because it's just a very Knicks thing to do. I'm hearing we want to trade all of our talent, and yeah, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Not that we have much, you know, to like offer in the first place. But I just don't want to give up everything for a guy that's never won anything and kind of is only going to come here and shoot. Like, that sounds extremely familiar. Let's give up all our young talent for a guy from the Western Conference that scores a lot. Does that sound familiar? Did that ring a bell to any Knicks fans? Yeah, like, I'm okay. No, thank you. If we're going to be bad, we won 17 games last year. If we're not making a move, like, to get Russell Westbrook, that's a championship type of move. We're not there yet. We're not ready for a Russell Westbrook. We're not ready for someone that's just going to win a lot of games. And we're going to think that it's a lot because it's more than what we're used to. So, Knicks, please, you know, someone just hide freaking Dolan's wallet. Can we just, like, where are the men in black? Can we just flash him or something like that? Like, you know, so he can just forget that he even owns the Knicks. You know, is someone inventing a time machine or something that we can go back to the day he bought the Knicks and tell him, you know, like, take him out for ice cream or something. Like, tell him to just do something else. Like, at this point, why do you even just want the team? I'm seeing reports that you're tired of angry fans always, you know, telling you to sell the team and, you know, you can't walk anywhere in New York City. How does that feel? You think Steve Ballmer has those problems? Like, come on, man, sell the team. I'm hearing Russell Westbrook wants to go to Miami. That's definitely, I just came from Miami. You know, shout out to Big Homie. We just went on, you know, that was my first time in Miami, which, you know, way overdue, of course, but had one of the greatest times of my life. So, I mean, I will tell you what, though, I wasn't thinking much about basketball. So, you know, I don't want Jimmy Butler down there playing dominoes and, you know, looking for a spades partner. Like, are you going down there to play basketball? Because, you know, you ain't really go to Philly to play ball. I heard you was out there. You was out there, Jimmy. I seen you. So, you know, Russell Westbrook, the fashion industry and all of that stuff. Like, I mean, you always on the red carpet in Miami when you Russell Westbrook. When you're a celebrity, people always looking at you. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of other distractions. You know, being in a place like Oklahoma City, which I've never been to. But I've never heard of it as a party town or, you know, nothing comparable to like New York City or LA or things like places like that, Houston, you know, places like that. So look, Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler are two very good players. Will they be good together? Maybe. Like, you don't really know. I kind of feel like Russell Westbrook needs to be teamed up with a big man. Somewhere where he can still be ball dominant and just throw lobs to a big man, you know, like a la Steven Adams. So him going to the Rockets doesn't make sense. I mean, James Harden will literally not be in the play. You know, that's what he's doing with Chris Paul. So if Russell Westbrook got the ball, James Harden won't even be in the play. And then Russell Westbrook sees that. All of a sudden, he starts yelling at him. And James Harden like, wait a minute, this is my team. You're not finna tell me what to do. So I can see them clashing like that. Knicks, of course, like I said, Knicks should just be out. We shouldn't even mess with that. Miami, I guess. You know, you ain't gonna win. I think the place for Russell Westbrook, and actually it's two places, but the place where I would really like to see him go, the Detroit Pistons. If Russell Westbrook went to the Pistons, because that's what they're missing, you know, they don't like Reggie Jackson. I mean, shoot, he backed up Russ once. Why not back him up again? You can keep Reggie Jackson, sign Russell Westbrook. You got Russell, and I don't know what the Pistons have to offer as far as giving things up, assets and stuff. I'm sure they have plenty because they don't have anything. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure they have, but they don't have anything that they've clearly spent money on. So I know Drummond got the max a while ago, but I don't think Blake's on the max deal. But can you imagine? That's the new Lob City right there. Russell Westbrook with Blake and Drummy. Yeah, I could see that working very well. You got Luke Kennard. You know, he's got definitely a great shooter. And, you know, that makes up for losing Reggie Bullock, who was a really good shooter. Still got Ish Smith. So, you know, you got something to work with. You can fill in other holes somewhere. And you're in the Eastern Conference. So that makes you an automatic contender. You made the playoffs last year. You add Russell Westbrook. You keep Andre Drummond and... Unless maybe you have to trade one of them, but I would say keep Blake. You know, so I think he should go to Detroit. I think Russell Westbrook should go to Detroit. Don't forget, you know, the Warriors. Like, remember them? I feel like people forgot about the Warriors. They see them, they lose KD. They know Klay Thompson's out for most of the year with a torn ACL. But let me tell you something about the Warriors. They have the two most important things in basketball. Coaching and chemistry. Steph is a two-time MVP. First unanimous MVP ever. I expect 30 points per game this year, sir. Draymond Green, you're going to have to step up scoring. We already know you're going to give us 10, 7, and 7. Which is ironic to me how we're very happy with 10, 7, and 7 from Draymond Green. But when Lonzo Ball gives you 10, 7, and 7, he's a bust. He's a bum. Nobody likes him. But, you know, I'm going to stay on topic. But, you know, just wanted to throw that in there. So, is D'Angelo Russell a trade asset? Is that what you think they're going to do with him? I don't think so. I mean, people tell me he's a great fit for them. Where? I don't see it. The Warriors move the ball. How are you going to put D'Angelo Russell into a system like that where he's very ball dominant? He created his own shot a lot in Brooklyn. And the Warriors' offense isn't about creating a shot. It's about getting a shot created for you. And then when Klay Thompson comes back, is he going to come back as a three? I'm not saying that he can't do it, but is he going to be comfortable doing that? You don't know that. So he just got the max deal. So we know the Splash, but they're all in on the Splash Brothers, as they should be. And of course, you know that, you know, once it comes down to it, they're going to make room for Draymond as well. They got to max him out. If they don't max him out, he's going to go somewhere else. That's what you think, right? That's what you got to think. But does Draymond Nation, does he care about winning? Dray Nation, huh? Y'all care about winning? I just feel like he's one of those dudes that we're like, I feel like a max player is someone who's a max player anywhere they go, right? Now, Draymond Green is one of the most unique players that we've ever seen in the NBA. He can guard all five positions. He can play offense on all five positions. And also, he brings the ball up. He's the first, the NBA's first point center. But see, the thing is, though, you can have the biggest arms, the strongest legs, nicest back, and all of that stuff. And then, but if you take the heart out of it, it doesn't work. But at the same time, you can't go take that same heart and go put it in another body if it's not the right blood type. Right? So Draymond Green may be a max player. He may be max player worthy for the Warriors because he fits that offense very well. But you tell him, where else can he go where you expect that same, you know, where you can give 10, 7, and 7 and that'd be okay? Draymond Green's not the type of player that's going to go to a franchise and turn it around. He's the kind of guy that's going to go to a team that is on its way and be the overwhelming reason that they get over the hump. He's doing what veterans do already. You know, he's the leader. He's been a leader from day one. And you see teams like the Warriors who, like I said, been to five straight finals. They were groomed. In the era of super teams, you know, they were groomed. Kevin Durant came to them. If Kevin Durant want to come, what you going to say, no? So it's not like they were like, you know, oh, we got to get this super team together. It was, hey, Kevin Durant's a free agent. Let me give him a call. Yo, you trying to come here and be the greatest team ever? Kevin Durant's like, damn, I was just up 3-1 on y'all. And we couldn't get it done. And y'all came back and beat us. Why, you know, I mean, we're probably not doing that at the schoolyard. But you don't get paid millions of dollars at the schoolyard. You don't live your life at the schoolyard. It doesn't matter, you know, you're still going to go home when the streetlights come on at the schoolyard. When mama call your name out the window, you running home. It's not like that. Now basketball is really life. Ball is really life. Oh, it's about rings? You want me to win rings? That's the only thing I don't got is rings? All right. So I'm going to go get rings. Two rings and two finals MVPs later. What else does Kevin Durant have to prove? You want him to win it on his own? You want him to win it on his own. Nobody's won it on their own. If you don't, you know, I mean, Michael Jordan was Kevin Durant until he got Scottie Pippen. If you think about it, you know, like what, is he just a prolific scorer? Kevin Durant had 4 scoring titles and an MVP. And that was nice. That's good. You wanted the baddest man on the planet. But you're doing all of this while Kobe, while Bron, while Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard winning rings. As my big homie would say, you trying to win or you trying to get busy? KD was finally trying to win. Put yourself in the best position to, you know, and that's what the NBA is all about now. So we got a lot of tandems. We're definitely going to get into it. And that is all for our first show. We made it to the end, folks. We made it to the end. I'm very happy about that. And of course, we have this thing called You Get the Box. Cannot forget about that. Now, when I give the box to somebody or to a team or, you know, it's similar to like a Shaq thing to fool kind of thing where, you know, if you do something dumb, you get in the box. Or, you know, if you're like the Knicks and you think you're going to get Zion and you think you're going to get Kyrie and you think you're going to get KD and you end up with Julius Randle, Elfrid Payton, and who else did they get? You know, like, basically, you see what I'm trying to say. I gotta give you the box. So, for the first episode, and this really, really pains me to say, I gotta give the box to the Lakers. So the Los Angeles Lakers, you get the box. You got duped. You got swindled. You thought this whole time you was finna get Kawhi, put the league on smash. LeBron James was looking like he was ready to, he was getting fitted for his rings already. But nope. And you know what's funny? This is just like how when Paul George got traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder, they kind of came in last second as a team that nobody was even paying attention to. You know, and that's the same exact thing that happened, you know, where Paul George was like, wait, I could go home? Oh, all right, make the call. Make the call. And now, I mean, I personally think that the Clippers are better the way they're set up than the way the Lakers are set up. So I give the box to the Los Angeles Lakers on the very first episode of The Box. And I'd like to thank you for joining me. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you was here with me. So thank you for balling with the box. Peace. Yo, in order to walk the walk, you gotta take paces. Especially when you tell your dreams and they make faces. Won't work for everybody if they raise wages. But I'm still out here working till the day changes. Try to trap me in a box, I will break cages. Be more like the universe and create spaces. And when these realize, will we hear cries before the last tear dries? Do we gotta feel the rain just to get some clear skies? Even when I feel pain, I tell you I feel fine. A heart that's full of gold could be cold the whole time. But will I hit rock bottom when they see how cold mine? If I gave a helping hand, would you even hold mine? We can make them go blind, maybe if we both shine. And this TV shouldn't remotely control lives. That's why I've been out of shape when they try and mold mine. Cause I'm working. Even when the sun goes down, I keep moving. Even when the sun goes down, I see clearly. Even when the sun goes down, when the sun goes down, when the sun goes down. Cause I'm working. Even when the sun goes down, I keep moving. Even when the sun goes down, I see clearly. Even when the sun goes down, when the sun goes down, when the sun goes down.